Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Father, we're so thankful for your goodness in our life. Thank you, Lord, that we come together today to worship and to celebrate not a statue, not a historical figure that's come and gone, but a living Lord that's alive and well and blessing and providing for us today. Your grace overwhelms us, Lord. It abounds to us. So thankful, Father, for your presence in our life. And God, as we just had a few testimonies this morning of your goodness and even some of the little things, Lord, we're so thankful for your presence in our life. God, now as we head to your word to look at love this month, I pray, God, that you would just help us to love like you love. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to February, the month of love, right? We celebrate romance and love this month. In fact, we've set aside a day where it's just for lovers and romance, right? There are approximately, here's a fun fact, there are approximately 150 million Valentine's Day cards exchanged annually in the United States, making Valentine's Day the second most popular card-sending holiday or event after Christmas. Valentine's Day, it seems like a little blip on the screen, right, in the big grand scheme of things, but it's pretty significant in lots of ways. So this month, we're going to spend some time over the next few weeks talking about love, and particularly the things that God loves, things that are near and dear to His heart, and therefore should be near and dear to our hearts as His children, as His church, right? I get a chance to kick off this series, and we're calling it the I Heart series, or I Love series. And each week we're going to look at different things that are dear and to God's heart, things that are that He loves, and things that we should love if we're truly pursuing the heart of God in our lives. And so today we're going to start off with I Heart People. I love people because God loves people. I heart people because God hearts people. Now, when you hear that God loves people, what is the first passage that pops into your head? The first Bible verse that pops into your head? Almost every single one of you said John 3:16. It's probably the most well-known Bible verse, and rightly so, because it really encapsulates the essence of the gospel. It's a Bible verse that was shared by our Lord Jesus. It's words from His mouth, and it shares His heart. It shares the heart of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The very words of our Lord and Savior. I'm going to put that in Aaron-ese here for a moment. I'm going to give you the new Aaron translation for that. Because God loves everybody. That's what whosoever means, right? Because God loves everybody so much, He sacrificed His own Son unto death so that all people who believe in Him shouldn't have to suffer the consequences of sin, but instead have everlasting life. God loves people. He loves people so much that He died for all of us, for everyone. And that is unconditional across the board. Whosoever includes churchgoers, unchurched people, the unlovable, the friends, the drug addicts, the politicians, the homeless woman, the preacher, the lawyer, the celebrity, the missionary, the unfaithful husband, the person sitting next to you, the youngest member of the furthest tribe of the most remote jungle, Muslims, Christians, the unborn babies, the ailing elderly, the rich, the poor, Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, everybody, God loves them all so much that He died for them. That's how much God loves people. And if you and I are going to pursue the heart of God, we've got to come to the place in our lives where we love people. Who are you and I to have hate in our heart? Who are we to value one life over another one? Who are we but undeserving recipients of the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God? God loves everyone. The subtitle of these passages over the next few weeks is Pursuing the Heart of God in All Things. You know, one of my, probably my very most favorite Bible figure is David. You ever study David? The King David, man, he was a man's man, a poet, a warrior, a musician, a lover, fierce in battle. I mean, he was a man, but he was a flawed man. He made many mistakes, but his heart was so drawn to God that God himself said, that man, David, King David, is a man after my own heart. I want God to look down from heaven and say, that Aaron, he's a man after my own heart. He's not perfect. David wasn't perfect, but when he blew it, he repented and he knew where to turn to. I want to be a man after God's own heart. And if we are going to be God's people, if we're going to pursue the heart of God in all things, if you and I are truly to be Christ-like, if we're going to be genuine and an accurate representation of Christ here on earth, we must love people as God does. You know people in your life that you would consider genuine people person, right? Somebody pop into your head when I say that. A genuine people person. Yeah, they just meet people and they're just automatically endeared to those people. They have this positive outlook on everything, right? On relationships. They've never met a stranger that they weren't drawn to, right? You hate them, don't you? I mean, right? I mean, there's those people in your life that are that way. I actually ran across one yesterday. I was at Publix. I think it was yesterday, sometime this week. I was at Publix and I saw one of these people. It was this young girl. She was probably about 15 and she was just smiling. And she was friendly to everyone. You know, I'm in Publix and I'm lost. I'm trying to find it. Of course, my list is not organized. So I go to this aisle, then I go to this aisle, then I go back to this aisle. Then I have to go over here because I forgot what I was going to get over there. And so I passed her about two or three different times on different aisles. She was there with her, I guess, her father. And I passed her. And every time I did, she had this huge smile on her face. And she was just talking to everybody. It's about two different times there was a mother with a young child in the basket, you know, and she would stop and coo over the baby and, you know, make eye contact and interact. Big smile with the mother, and she just was friendly to everybody. Well, just so turns out that when I got into the line, the cashier, her and her father, or whoever were like two people in front of me, they were in the same aisle I was. She was so friendly to the cashier and making conversation with everybody, and she looked across to the little girl in the aisle next to us that was in the next register over, this little girl, and she had her balloons, and this girl just, "Oh, you're so cute. I love your balloons." I mean, just everybody. She loved people. You know people like that, right? It showed in her that she just loved people. She was just a people person. She and you and I are to be that way. We should love others. We should love others not only because it's the right thing to do, not only because it's what Jesus did, but because God commands it of us. He doesn't suggest. Here's a good idea. If you're going to be one of my people, perhaps you ought to. No, he doesn't do that. He commands us to do that. John chapter, or 1 John chapter 4 is very interesting. Almost all of my passages that I'm going to use today, and there's quite a few, but almost all of them were written by John the disciple. You know who John was? The beloved, right? So it's very interesting that the beloved disciple, the one who loved Jesus so dearly, is the one who teaches us how to love people, right? So 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 is where we're going to pick up right now. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You want to be Jesus in the world? You want to show the world who God really is? He's love. If your love, and if you're demonstrating love in your life, if your life reflects the love of God, you are being God in this world, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Let's break that down for a minute. He starts off in some translations, he says, dear friends. In other translations, he says, beloved. Beloved is a real good way to translate that from the original language, because it means those loved of God and a part of the fellowship. You are people that God loves because we are the beloved, right? Anybody know Tony Njoku? He calls everybody beloved. It's so sweet. He always says that. Well, hello, beloved. Because we're her brothers and sisters. We're beloved of God. And because of that, because we have been called into his fellowship, because we are a part of the family of God, because we were so loved by God, here's what happens. Let us love one another. John the disciple is talking. This is an open letter to the church, and he says, let us love one another. Now, the original word that's used there is, and I'm probably mispronouncing this, but it's agapomen. Agapomen. It means to love, to wish well to take pleasure in, to long for. It denotes the love of reason, esteem. And the root word there, you may recognize that the root word there is agape. It's the kind of love that God loves us with. That unconditional love. Now, when we're reading through Scripture in our modern English, we see the word love a lot in there. If you were to read the original translations of these Scriptures, there's so many different words that were used for love. We've kind of thrown a lot of those out, and we've gotten down to one word that means love. Did you saw the bumper earlier, the bumper video? It says, I love me some coffee, right? I love me some cats. I love me some comics, right? We love those things, and it's the same word that we use when we say we love God. And that kind of shouldn't really be compared, right? I mean, those should be different kinds of love. And in Scripture, when you're looking at the original language, they use different words for those. And this love that is used right here is the kind of love with which God loves us. Dear friends, let us agape one another. It's a love of reason. It's not an emotion that is blown by the wind here or there. It's you making up your mind that you're going to put into action love towards other people. Circumstances, emotions, none of those come into play. This is a love of reason. We decide to love. We make up our mind and our will to love others unconditionally. That's what that word means. Because God loves us, and because we're brothers and sisters, because we're children of God, we should love one another in this way. Let us choose to love one another. Why? He goes on and he says, because love comes from God. We're talking about pursuing the heart of God in all things over these next couple of weeks. The heart of God is love towards people. Where do we get that love from? You and I, and you know yourself better than anybody, and I know myself better than anybody, we have a hard time sometimes with that, with loving other people. It sometimes, and especially different kinds of people, it just doesn't come naturally. But God gives us his love. God gives us his love. He gives us the ability to make up our minds and to put into action through the power of the Holy Spirit to love other people. We don't have to do it on ourselves. And to me, that's very comforting, that's not on me. All I have to do is surrender, yield to God in me as his child. And he gives me that ability. He gives me that desire to love other people. that love comes from Him. Pastor says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. If you're really truly doing this in your life, if this is demonstrated in your life, then you're a genuine child of God. You've been born of Him and He is in you. And you know Him. He goes on to tell the opposite of that though, but whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. And then the next couple of passages here sound kind of familiar. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That sound familiar? A bit like John 3:16, doesn't it? Interesting that it was written by the same person, or recorded by the same person. Dear friends, since God so loved us, since God so loved the world, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. If we're going to be representative of God, which we are to be, that's why He left the church here, was so that we could be His presence here on earth, that we could make His kingdom come here to earth. If we're going to be representatives of God, if we're going to be His people and show Him to the world around us, how do we do that? How are we going to accomplish that? We're going to do it through love. We're going to do it through love. As this verse says, no one has seen God, but we can show God to them by allowing His love to be complete in us. You want to be a representation of God in your workplace or in your school? Love. That's how that works. Because then they'll see God in you. John 13, verse 35 says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you want people to know that you belong to me, this is how you do it. You love one another. How do you know that everybody today in this, some game or something going on this evening, right? How do you know what team they're on? How do you know what team that player is on if you don't know anything about the player himself? How do you know what team he's on? By his jersey, his uniform, his colors, right? You can look at a person and you can tell who's a fan they are. You know, that's a fan of the Patriots, or that's a fan of the Saints or whoever. You can look at them because they're wearing the jersey, right? And they've got the colors on and they're representing. When somebody looks at your life, you know what your jersey is that tells them you're on God's team? How you love people. When they look at your life, they don't have to wonder who's a fan. Who's he a fan of? Because they can see the jersey that you're wearing. The love of God on you for your brothers and sisters. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. How does your social media posts demonstrate whose team you're on? Are you showing love to all people as you're casting out your opinions out there into the world? How does your behavior at work around that difficult coworker? How does that demonstrate what team you're on? Are you showing grace and love to that unlovable person? How are you talking about your classmates in the hallways with your friends? Because people overhear that. They hear how you talk about people. And they know. Who are you representing? Whose jersey are you wearing? Are you showing people that you love? When people look at your life, do they know that you're on God's team? I'm going to take just a break here for a moment and do a plug here for a new ministry, or not really a new ministry, but one we're kind of focusing on for this year. And it's our ministry we call it our assimilation ministry, or how we get new folks who come to the church plugged in and a part of the regular part of the congregation here. And there's plenty of opportunities to do that here at this church. And we want everyone to be involved in that. It's not just a few people who are in key volunteer areas, but it's everyone who is a part of that ministry. Because when someone comes here and is a guest for the first time, maybe second time or something like that, we have a privilege. We have the responsibility. We have the opportunity to be able to show God's love to them. To be able to get out of the way and let God shine through us to these people. And then that takes steps as we love them wherever they are. They may be far from God. Maybe be seeking. Maybe they're hardcore church people and they're just looking for a new congregation because they moved in the community. We don't know what their situation is, but we have the opportunity through our love to them to bring them up to be a part of what God is doing here. Not necessarily because we want lots of folks, but because there's lots of folks that need God. And we want people to know Him. And the way we do that is how we love one another. And if you're smiling at the door, shaking people's hands, and then they see you out in the parking lot being mean to somebody, it's not a very good representation of God. We need to show God's love in everything. And if our love shows the world who God is and demonstrates to others that we're His disciple, what is it we demonstrate when we don't love others? When we harbor hate towards others? What is it that we show? Well, 1 John chapter 4, we're going back over here in verse 20, follows up with that. It says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. That's a hard word right there. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Do you hear the language that He's using there? If you want your toes stepped on, you read 1 John. Man, it's hardcore. If you think you're a good Christian and got it all together, go read 1 John. Do a real good study of 1 John. You'll come out of there with your heart broken. I mean, it's hardcore. But John the disciple was making it clear that as believers, you and I have an obligation to love people as God loved people. John is telling us that we cannot love God and hate our brother. Those two things are mutually exclusive. We cannot do them. If you're standing out there at the beginning of our service and you've got your hand raised and you're singing to the top of your lungs about how you love God and you're worshiping God, and at the same time you're cutting out of the corner of your eye across the aisle at your brother that has done you wrong and you're harboring hate in your heart, that singing is a lie. I'm not saying that. That's what Scripture says. If I'm up here on the platform on Sunday morning and I'm worshiping, I'm praising, and I'm singing praise to God, and out of the corner of my eye, I'm down there going, that Craig, man, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he's out there in front. I can't believe he's out there shaking people's hands with that big old smile. I know what he did, right? I'm a liar. That's what Scripture's saying. I'm a liar. Who wouldn't love Craig, though, right? Who wouldn't love Craig? Verse 21, it says, and He, God, has given us this suggestion. Is that what it says?
No.
He, God, has made a strong recommendation to us. No, He has given us this command. If you love God, you must love your brother and sister. Now, if you look at the language, He's talking about fellow Christians right there. He's talking about fellow Christians. And you think, okay. So if you're here today and you're looking at this passage and you're an astute student of Scripture and you read it and you go, I can do that. That passage is speaking of brothers, fellow believers. I can do that. I can love John because John and I have similar values. He believes what I believe. He likes what I like. Right? I can do that. I can love John. He's a good guy. That's easy. He's a lovable guy. But you know what? I just can't love those people out there in the world. They hate me. They're my enemies. I can't love them. Well, Jesus has that one covered too. He talks to us in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 36. Not only have we been commanded to love our brother and sister, not only is how we love one another here at the fountain or out in the world when we know that someone is our brother and sister in Christ, not only is that love commanded by God and demonstrate the fact that we are His children, but He covers the bases just in case we have an excuse to not love someone else. He says, but to you who are listening, are you listening? Are you listening? To you who are listening, I say this: love your enemies. Now, in case you're wondering, the word that He used for love right there is the same word He used for loving your brother and sister. It's not a different word. It's the same love. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other one also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Wish I had a nickel for every time I told my kids that when they were little, right? Do unto others as you would have done unto you. But that doesn't end when we're kids, right? If you want your enemies to treat you well, he's saying you should be treating them that way. You should be treating them well. You should be blessing them. You should be praying for them. It's real easy when we gather here on Sunday morning to pray for our brothers and sisters who are in a struggle, who life is just kicking while they're down or whatever. How many times have you stopped and prayed for your enemies, those who you don't like, those who aren't like you, those who hate you? How many times do you bless them? How many times do you wish good for them? He goes on to tell us that loving your brother is one thing, but anyone can do that. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. You know, there's a real good example of this, of loving your enemy, of doing good to those who hurt you. There's a real good example, and it happened on a cross. Jesus didn't deserve what happened to him. He loved everybody. He was a good and perfect man. He fed people. He healed people. He loved people. He accepted people. And what he got in return was his beard ripped out of his face. People spitting on him. Yelling and calling him names. Putting him through a kangaroo court and unjustly convicting him and sending him to his death. If anybody deserved to be able to look down on or hate anybody in a situation, it would have been our Savior in that moment. But he didn't. As he's nailed to the cross, breathing his last breath, beaten, bruised, neglected, his friends have turned his back on him. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what love looks like. That's what love of the heart of God looks like. If we are to truly have his heart, if we're genuinely seeking after the things that he loves, we must love people, all people. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 44. This is after Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, or part of that recording there. He says, you have heard that it was said you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Apparently that was a thing back then, right? That's not how we operate now, do we? That still sounds pretty familiar to what we do today, right? But I say to you, but Jesus, God says to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. In another incident, later in his ministry, Jesus is speaking with, and there's religious people. I don't want to be a religious person, do you? You know, Jesus had a lot of grace for sinners. He didn't have much grace for religious people. He's speaking to these people, and there's some religious folks there, and one of them, a lawyer, he asked Jesus, he says, he's trying to trip him up. He's trying to get him to say something to get himself in trouble. And he says, what's the greatest commandment? Without missing a beat, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second, he ups the ante here, because I'm sure all those religious people are back there saying, well, I do that. I love God with all of that I am, because I give this portion of my income, and I pray these many times a day, and you can see it in the way I live my life, right? That was what those religious people were saying, but he ups the ante there. He says, the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws of the prophets hang on these two commands. He's saying, listen, all you have to do to keep the law is to do these two things. If you love God with everything that you are and you love your neighbors like yourself, then you're not going to break any laws. You're not going to lie to somebody, because if you love somebody, you're not going to put them in a situation where you're being deceitful to them. You're not going to steal from somebody, because if you truly love them, you're going to respect their stuff and leave it with them, right? Two things. All you have to do is these two things. And yet we can't do it without the grace of God. In Luke's account of this same encounter, these religious people, they try and trip him up again, and they say, well, then who is our neighbor? And you all know the story in Luke chapter 10. He says, when Jesus was asked this by a lawyer, who is my neighbor? He tells a parable about a man who had been attacked by thieves and left wounded on the road. First, a priest, then a Levite. They both were Israelites. They passed by this Jew who had been mistreated on the road there without helping him. Subsequently, a Samaritan, somebody who was an enemy of the Jewish people. If you know anything about the history, Samaritans and Jews were like oil and water. They did not get along. They did not like one another in general. A Samaritan helped the wounded man, despite the fact that the Samaritans were usually despised by the Jews. After concluding the parable, Jesus asked the lawyer, which of these men was a neighbor to the wounded man? The response in verse 37 was this: he who has shown mercy on him, on the wounded man. To this, Jesus replied, go and do likewise. If you want to know who your neighbor is, it's the despised, it's the broken, it's the needy, it's the beaten, it's the downcast, it's those who would not generally be the ones that you hang out with. That's your neighbor. And you and I, if we're going to be his followers, we got to follow the Samaritan's example. If you say, I heart people, I love people, God's called me to love people, I love people. If you say that, do we? Do we really love people? If we don't, if our lives do not reflect Jesus' love genuinely into people's lives, then we're just making noise. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, every wedding you've ever been to, you've probably heard this passage, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, right? He says, all of this stuff, this religious stuff that we do, all of these things that we do to try to make, to worship God and to please Him, that's all just noise if we don't have the love of God in our life. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all of my possessions to the poor and give over my body to the hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. It's just noise. I don't want my life to be noise. Do you? I want to make a difference. I want to be a part of bringing God's kingdom here on earth. How do we do that? We love people. This month we celebrate love and shower our loved ones with words and deeds of affection. And as we do that this month, let us be mindful of our obligation to love all people as God loves people. If we're going to be pursuing the heart of God in all things, it means we must put aside our understanding of love and our value choices on who deserves our love and who truly, and we got to truly love all people unconditionally. In our actions, in our words, in our interactions, in our relationships with all mankind. Loving people, listen, this is our commission, right? Go and make disciples of all the world. Loving people is how we will reach the world. Being judgmental and rash and hateful is not going to win people to Christ. Loving people is how we will reach the world. Loving people is how we will make a mark on others that is lasting and eternal. Loving people is how we will bring about true change in our society. Loving people is how they will see Jesus in us. We got to love people. I heart people because God hearts people. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love for me. Lord, of anybody, I know how unlovable I can be. I should be your enemy. But your word tells us that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. So thankful for your unconditional love for me. And because I know that and because I have experienced that, God, compel me to show that same unconditional agape men love to others. Thank you, Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd remove the obstacles from our hearts that harden us against those that you love. May my life, may the life of everyone in this room right here today, Lord, may our life reflect your love. May others look into our lives and see you and want what we've got. Don't allow our own desires, our own mistakes to cloud that, but help us, others, to see you in us. Thank you, Lord, for your love for me.